Hey there. Welcome to another episode of Foot Traffic. Today I'm interviewing Ashley Crouch. Ashley is in the PR space and we recently did a survey. You might've seen it on social media and we've been basically saying we are just content machines if you haven't noticed. And sometimes it's hard for me, like, what do they want to hear? Or where do we go next? And I sent out the survey. If you didn't fill it out and you want to fill it out, you can go to stacytushel.com/survey. And on that survey, we asked, like, what do you want to hear? And I can tell you that PR showed up over and over and over and over again. So I decided to bring on somebody that I personally worked with in the PR space. She has helped me. I mean, some of the videos you're watching or maybe podcasts you're listening to, it's because of the headline we used. And that was one of the headlines she helped us craft. She's actually the person that helped us. We came up with the implementation code, the name of the book together while I was working with her in that session. She is somebody that can just like pull words out and just knows like the direction to head. And I'm just so excited to share her with you today. So if you are ready, let's jump in to today's episode with Ashley Crouch. Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacy Tushel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I have joining me today, Ashley Crouch, who is a PR and visibility strategist. And I know because we track our numbers that PR episodes, Ashley, do the best. Like everybody wants PR. They're always in our top. And when I realized that and the team's like, who do we know in PR? I'm like, ooh, we need Ashley. Ashley knows her stuff. And I was so excited to bring you on. I know we got to hang out in my mastermind. You came and presented to the ladies and you even got to do some Q&A with them where you were giving examples and they were loving it. So I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to get to share you with everybody that listens to the podcast. First, can you just share a little bit about how you got started in PR and what that journey has looked like for you?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I got started by accident. In fact, I didn't even know that PR was an industry at all. I got invited to be on the founding team of a startup. It was a fashion magazine in New York City. And for anybody who doesn't know, we were working around the clock, nights and weekends. We were living on caffeine and dreams for years and getting nowhere. And after a couple of years, I said to the team, we need language to describe how we're different. So I branded it as the first no Photoshop fashion magazine to exist and kind of self-nominated to run the PR launch and rollout. And with that campaign, we went viral around the world. We went to 180 features in 8 months, including Harper's Bazaar and Entrepreneur and New York Post. Pretty much all the top outlets were featuring us. And after that time, I realized, wow, it was an aha moment to see the traffic numbers increase because, you know, we're on Foot Traffic Podcast. What is the results of PR? Well, we were at 30,000 views a month. And when we actually went viral in the New York Post, we skyrocketed to 280,000 views in just a couple of weeks. And almost a decade later, the magazine still enjoys a million views a month. But that was really the launch pad for everything and the aha moment for me where I realized, wow, so many startups and entrepreneurs and solution creators are trying to do something really important, but they need that story piece to be the accelerator. And that's why I started my current company.
Such a good story. So you said in the beginning, you decided to do like the only non-Photoshop magazine. Were you intentional saying we have to be different? What can we do to be different? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Because we had so much skepticism from the readers and from the investors. Yeah. People wanted to know, how are you different? And is print dead? And why are you with a fashion magazine during these times? So we had to find a way to create a space in the market for us where there wasn't any. And the way to do that is to enroll people in a vision by identifying your distinctive markers or your differentiators, which you're so good at, and we've worked on together. And in a world where there, you know, so many people, whether you're in a magazine industry or media industry or service provider, at this point, the market really is saturated. We're almost a decade later at this point, but there is no market that doesn't have thousands or millions of people competing for the same client and customer base. And so the way you do it is enroll people in your vision by creating the story angles and the archetypes, which I can talk through in a little bit. And people get to know in an instant what you stand for, what solution you provide, and how you're different from everyone else. And it can be a really easy full body yes or a no. But either way, you're getting people to know right away what you're about and how to be involved with you.
Yeah. One of the things I always tell people, especially when it comes to marketing, is be different, not just better than your competitor. Because I think a lot of us just try to outdo, outperform. Okay, if they're doing that, we're going to be cheaper or we're going to do, right? It's just like, that's how we think about it. But it's not as easy. Like, it's easy to say to be different. It's hard to implement being different when you just said people are skeptical. They're saying this isn't a good idea because you're putting yourself out there and really kind of saying like, we're going to try it this way. We've got a different spin on it. And then hearing that criticism can be really difficult. So did it take off right away? Did you go viral really quickly? Or was there a lot of that time and, you know, pressure of people saying like, this is a bad idea. What are you guys doing?
Well, I had never done PR before, so I didn't know what was good or bad. I only knew what got results or I was going to get fired, frankly. And so, so I just built a system and, and it took a couple of months. But the way that it got started was I didn't have any relationships, didn't know a soul, didn't know how to pitch anybody. But now what I've come to create is a system where you give and you're generous first. So I identified a writer who was one of the managing editors for the New York Post. He was speaking in Brooklyn and I reached out to him on Facebook. I said, Bill, I'm so excited to meet you in a couple of weeks when you're speaking at this event. And by doing so, I seeded the anticipation that he would meet me there. So many people go into events or on networking events or clubhouse chat rooms, and it's a missed opportunity because you can help to plant the seed that they're going to find you specifically. So he gave his keynote and like the busy man he is, booked it for the door, no Q&A, nothing. And I ran to the front door and I said, Bill, so nice to meet you. And he recognized me from that Facebook message.
Okay.
I handed him a copy of the magazine and said, here's a gift for your wife. So I had already done the pre-work to know he had a wife, to plan to meet him there. Anyway, in a couple of weeks, we got a call from another one of the senior editors that wanted to do the story. And it went viral. From there, we got called What Women Want in a magazine. And we built the whole campaign from there.
Yeah. I love it. I love that you brought up the pre-work. I was sitting at a big conference, like 5,000 people in the room. And this man sitting next to me turns over to me and he's like, here's our information on, it was like a gun course. Okay. Like firearms.
Wow.
Now here's the thing. I can't imagine you look at me and think she's my ideal person. She's going to, she's going to want to buy this thing. Right. What's crazy is sitting next to me, who's sitting next to me is my husband, who's a former police and SWAT team member. And instead of getting to know people, he's just like throwing things at them. If he would have been asking and networking and talking to us, he would have seen his perfect person was sitting right next to me, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I love that you bring that up because so many people, they don't do the pre-work. They don't figure it out. They throw him the magazine. He's not interested. He throws it away versus like, this is for your wife. Oh, okay. My wife might like this. Like you planted the seed. This is for her, not you.
Exactly. And that's one of the key things people need to know if you're listening to this and you want to take action right away. It's part of my signature system and it's called purposeful planting. And it's exactly that because you want to know in advance what they write about, what their interests are, if the outlet is even relevant to your target customer, and lead with empathy so that everything you're doing is intentionally planting a seed. You don't have to spray and pray everywhere. And I wanted to go back to what you said, Stacey, was so key. You said so many people feel like they have to work harder and they have to, you know, go to all these things. Yeah. So many people feel that if they hustle harder, the red carpet will roll out for them. And in fact, that's false. We have to build our own red carpets and we do so with pillars of a prestigious brand. This is very important, but also the sequence of the rollout. And so many people do not talk about this. If you have a product line, there's a sequence to that launch strategy. Mm-hmm. If you have a book, there's a sequence. You land the bestseller, then you move into the media, then you move into podcasting. And so that is extremely important in the whole process. And it's one of the reasons why people are successful or they're spinning their wheels with scattershot placements that never mm-hmm. feel like they're getting them anywhere.
Yeah. Now, PR, it means a lot of things, right? There's a lot of ways to get credibility, to get featured. Are there some of yours that are your favorite? They're like the biggest bang for your buck. Like, I want to head here. I'm going to pitch this first. Like, what are some strategies that way?
Yeah. Well, in my company, we always operate by going after the white whales. And I call them the white whales. It's very different from what I believe other people are teaching. But a lot of times people say, or the kind of common practice is that if you want to get started, you have to start at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And there's this energy around it that's like, who are you to go for the big guns right away?
Right.
And so you start at the bottom and you're doing small blogs and podcasts that have no traffic. And, you know, then eventually, maybe in a couple of years, you'll hit a national feature. I actually do the complete opposite. Because when you go for the national outlets first, you're spending the same exact amount of time to get placed, and your time is valuable. You're wearing 5-6 different hats potentially in your business. Why spend that same amount of time getting placed somewhere where it's not going to move the needle when you could get one placement in a national feature that's going to trigger the domino effect and all the other outlets will get in line to feature you? So when you think about visibility, a lot of people go straight for the social media platforms. But I actually say PR and the authority around those national platforms is the foundation. Because if you don't have a platform, you have to leverage another platform to propel your own. And those brand logos have the weight and the gravitas that you can leverage to propel things like your social media funnels, your front end funnels, your call to action for an application call, your Clubhouse bio. It's really key. So I would actually say start with the national features that are resonant for your target customer. People say they want to be on Good Morning America. I actually would say don't do that if your target customer doesn't watch it. Mm-hmm. Instead, go for something like a Forbes or a Fast Company or a TechCrunch, someplace where your target customer is, and it could be another outlet.
Yeah.
And then plug that logo into your bio, and we have a whole system of how to leverage it. But then from there, you can build your platform even more with your funnels and with your social platforms.
Yeah, because imagine you see two funnels that are pretty identical, right? Just a very simple funnel. And one has As Seen In, Forbes, Entrepreneur, Inc., right? ABC. And the other one doesn't say that. Which one are you more likely to opt into? Yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer. We all are going to the one that looks more credible because we don't know these people. If we are cold, right, which a lot of us are trying to attract a new, fresh audience, which means they're cold. If they don't know us, to get them to see that we are credible, that somebody else has put their stamp of approval on our business or on who we are, right? It just gives us more credibility. So I think people really need to understand like how to use that PR leverage, how to use those features.
It's so key. And this is one of the questions we get asked a lot is what's the ROI? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the big misconceptions of media because yes, it's great to have the logos. It's great to have that As Seen In bar. And a lot of people feel during these times, they want to be really strategic about where they're putting their money. So if you're going to put your money towards an As Seen In bar, some people would say, well, that's a vanity metric. It's just my ego. I actually want to know what it is that I'm going to get so I can build my business. Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. And one of the misconceptions is that when you get a placement, that you're looking for direct sales from that placement. Mm-hmm. You're looking for the click through from the link. If, you know, hopefully they leave the link in.
Yeah.
And then from there, you're going to see growth in your business. That may happen, but it may not. And one of the things that you need to understand about media is that the placement itself is about 15% of the value. And so what you do afterward is think of it like an asset. This is now an audience. That logo acts as an audience to pre-sell people for you. And so we actually partnered with a Facebook ad agency to get the data because I had too many people asking me and I didn't know what to tell them.
I'm sure. I know. It's like, how do you prove that? But yeah, there's so much in there. And if you can see the back behind the scenes, then you can start to see the numbers.
Exactly. And we didn't have the numbers. And mm-hmm. and frankly, that felt out of integrity with me mm-hmm. to want to sell something that I have no control right. over anything afterward. And so we partnered last year with a Facebook ad agency, and their price point, their product price point is about $15,000. So it is high okay. ticket. Okay. And what they ran was about 1,000 ad tests, and it had all the same copy, all the same call to action, all the same audience. But what they tested was, if you put a Forbes feature at the front of funnel where it says, hey, I was featured in Forbes,
yeah,
all the same copy and the call to action is book a call to apply, that it actually decreased the cost of the CPL by 121% versus having a photo, a boomerang, yeah. a video. And that's saving you money right away. But then what about the close rate? And remember, it's a very high ticket item.
Yeah.
The close rate increased by 43%. Mm. So it saves money. It makes you money. And that is a way where you think of it like an asset. Once you place that feature in a national platform, put it in your funnels and leverage it literally for years to come. Now you could see what the ROI is.
Mm. Yeah. And I think too is you think, well, that was like 3 years ago. Like, oh, I had that one thing, the one time you showed it one time and you think everybody knows that you got it.
Totally.
And they aren't repurposing, reusing. How can we repurpose like that one award, that one feature, that one sentence? Like, what do you do with this?
It's so key. It's all about the repurposing. And actually, I love your program on this about becoming a content machine. Mm-hmm. And we use it in our business and it's gold. And you want to use your national features that way. Mm-hmm. So when you think of them like an asset, you're going to okay. take a screenshot of the photo of the feature. Do not send them to the article itself. You are going to use the article, but keep the people in your ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So you put it in the front of funnel and you run it to an application call. And then at about the third pre-call email that you have, and if you don't have a pre-call email, definitely work with Stacy. I'm sure she can hook you up with that. But the pre-call email sequence, at about the third email, you're going to put in your feature of how you were featured in the national media, or you can put it on your thank you page, right? So when people go and they buy your low ticket item, maybe it's $27, put it on your thank you page for the bump offer. Also, your email signatures. That should be in every email signature. Your book was named top 20. You were featured as, the funnel guru for small businesses. Whatever it is, put those quotes in there because, again, this is all an audience that's pre-selling people for you, and it's just from the gravitas of those brands.
I love that. So you're giving us places to actually go and put that email signature. Bios, you said, when you go into Clubhouse, when I'm on Clubhouse and I'm literally sitting there scrolling, checking everybody's bio, it makes a difference. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you're giving us actionable places. Now you brought up archetypes. Can't even say
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more about that because this is a big part of your framework and I want to make sure they hear that.
Oh yeah. Thanks, Stacey. So I created a signature system. Like I said, I had no experience, no relationships, no background in PR at all. All I knew was what got results. And because we had so many results, one of the first clients for my new business, Appleseed Communications, was actually Psychology Today magazine. And I was hired to write headlines and edit articles, 32 articles a week for about a year. So 32 times 52, if we do the math right, that's a lot of titles. And it went out to 7 million people every day. So I had a focus group where I could see after that time, what types of titles tend to go viral more often? Mm-hmm. And I created a signature framework and I call it my 13 story archetypes. An archetype is just an angle. So many people pitch wrong and they never get the feature because your email headline says something like my name and Forbes.
Yeah.
Instead, what you want to do is craft the actual headline that the media will write about you. And you do it, if you want to work with me or my company, we could actually custom create this for you. But the archetypes, I'll give you the top two that are so helpful and you can use them right away coming out of this podcast. And the first archetype that is gold would be the low to high arc Okay, this is your rags to riches tale. And we loved it when we were kids and we love it now as adults. And a typical rags to riches tale could be someone you probably all know, you know, an aspiring football player receives an injury, is broke on his sister's couch, and then builds an entire empire called the School of Greatness. And that's a quick story archetype. Mm-hmm. So think in your own life or in your business or in the clients and customers that you serve, how you help them go from low to high in that triumphant arc, or maybe something you've overcome. And what you want to do is craft the actual headline that the media is going to write about you. So you're handing everything to them on a silver platter, and you need to be sure to put that headline in the email title itself, not inside the email, because they receive hundreds of emails a day. That right there is huge. The second archetype, which I want to share in our time together, would be the practical and actionable archetype. This is where you're teaching something practical, and you want to teach the solution to the problem that your target customer has. This is so key, and why when you place a story like that, your target customer will click on it and see it. So an example could be if you are a sleep coach, for example, then, and you're all about high performance, your story archetype could be 5 surefire strategies to never hit the snooze button again, even if you're not a morning person. So it's an example, but think in your own business and your expertise that the solutions that you provide and craft it into the headline. And like I say, we have 13, but those two right there, you can take action. And some of my clients, if they've heard podcasts or webinars like this, they get featured within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's really powerful stuff. And I think different and key for people to know and get results.
So with the different archetypes, are we looking at a few that we're using all the time? Are we trying to build out like a range? Would I have a rag to riches and a 5-tip strategy?
Great question. You do want to have a range. So typically, like you and I worked together and it was a beautiful experience. We did have a range where it was a few things that you offer. So it's the practical and actionable, but then it's a few of the rags to riches, right? Mm-hmm. And then there can be some profile ones on you, how you're different. And so there can be a range, but typically you want to lead with 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. And even those 3 to 5, you can recycle and repurpose through an entire year. So you know, in the spring season, I'm running with this. In the summer season, I'm running with this. In the fall season, I'm running with this. And again, consider what your target customer would be interested in during those seasons and place the stories at that time.
Yeah. And I think my biggest takeaway from working together was how important the headlines are. Mm-hmm. And I remember I walked away with like 30 different headlines of nothing but a headline in some of these cases, but going, holy cow, like I want to read this thing. I want to watch this video. I want to listen to this podcast. Like the headline really is, it's what makes people hit play, open up that email, right? Take action. And so many times, you know, a lot of our subject lines are going live. It's like, exactly. Okay, thanks. That's good to know. You know, like how do you get me to like jump in that next level? How do you get me to decide, okay, I've got 5 minutes. Yeah, I'm going to watch Ashley's video right now, right? So you've got to be really, really careful. Okay, biggest mistakes. What do you see? I'm sure you see all of the above. Everything. What are some big mistakes that we should be watching out for, making sure we are not doing when it comes to PR?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, first of all, a lot of people think you have to send a press release. Do not send any press releases. Strike it from the record. It doesn't get results. Okay. So even if you have been given a press release by some agency in the past, I would say don't use it. Don't attach anything in your emails. You want everything to be in the body of the email itself. Okay. Mm-hmm. Second thing, always make the title of your email the headline that you want the writer to write about you. Do not put something like so-and-so expert in such topic. It will not catch their eye. So that's another thing that, you know, I've written for Forbes and Fast Company and Huffington Post, all these places. So I've been pitched and almost everybody has missed that one detail and gotten a no because of it. So that's one thing. The other thing is, you know, when you think about how to pitch the media, a lot of people say, well, actually, I don't have any results. I don't have any relationships. How do I possibly get in front of these people? Yeah. And it's never been easier. So here's what you want to do. You want to use a free Google Chrome plugin called Rocket Reach, and you can search assistant editors, contributors for almost every platform that there is, and you can reach out to them that way, as well as follow them on social media. I just heard from a writer today saying, you would be surprised how many people say they want to be featured by me, but they're not even following me on social.
Ooh.
And if they were, I actually have gone back and reached out to people because we engaged on Instagram.
Yeah. And I think so many times now people are posting their Forbes feature, tagging the writer who wrote it. And then people are seeing it going, man, I want that. And you're right. Not hitting the follow button, not reading the article, not complimenting it, you know, reaching out, all of that. So that's massive.
It's so huge. And the so there's three key angles in my signature system. It's the archetype approach, purposeful planting, which we talked about at the beginning, and also give before you get. And so when you pitch the media, always make the first sentence about them and not about you, and deliver a genuine compliment.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're not even pitching yourself. You're pitching someone else who's a friend of yours and an amazing expert at something. Deliver that value before making the ask, and think of the media as a friend, right? The posture around pitching the media is often very graspy. Like, please feature me. I need some attention. Instead, no, you want to actually think of them as a friend and do everything with empathy so that you're placing a feature that will resonate with your target customer, and you're pitching the media in a way that will resonate with them. And doing those key things, I have a whole training in my book. I'd be happy to share with you for free if anybody wants to get the book. But those three things, just from there, you will start to see the needle moving, getting some massive placements that you would never think, but it's totally possible.
Last week, I had a DM that said, I love your podcast and I have a huge favor to ask. And then it proceeded with like seven sentences all about them. And I'm like, listen, the first time you ever talked to me, the first four words, I love your podcast, and then everything else all about you. Like, to me, I'm like, this is the biggest, like the worst type of pitch you can do. And when you say like, start with a compliment, well, at least finish the compliment and give a period before you dive in with your request. Like, you've got to be really careful. And, you know, we see this all the time as podcasters, we're getting pitched all the time. So you've got to be really careful. Like, what makes you stand out? How about don't pitch in the first breath? Like, how about build a relationship? Like you said, follow us, right? DM us, comment, et cetera. Engage before you go for that pitch. I definitely am using like the things that I don't like. I make sure that I don't do that to the people that I'm trying to reach out to and building a network, because I know how it feels. And you don't want to feel like people are just befriending you, so you'll write that feature for them.
Exactly. And you know, you've been featured in Forbes and really amazing placements, and you know, it does work. And so you're able to use and leverage that for years to come. But it is about being authentic. And I know that's a word often overused, but just really leading with empathy. And everything we do at my company is with empathy in mind. And so that's where you start to see the leverage of the placement actually getting placed, but then also actually resonating with your target customer, which is the whole point.
Right. Okay, last question for you. When people finally start to get placements and they've gotten that feature they've wanted, or that something they've been like longing for, how do they continue to leverage that relationship with that person? How soon is too soon to repitch again if they've taken you up on the TV segment, the feature in the article, et cetera?
Oh, that's such a good question. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that before.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. So that's a great question, because you want to keep the relationship warm and ongoing by continuing to pitch different types of angles that are resonant for that time period. This is very key. The media is looking for stories that are newsworthy, which means it has to be current. They are trendy, which means typically it's been mentioned three times or more in the past 2 weeks. Mm. If you notice that your topic has been mentioned three times or more in different outlets, you can consider it to start a trend. It's a trend.
Okay.
So then you could pitch for that. They also want you as an expert and an individual. So if you want to give before you get and continue to stay generous, you could pitch another expert who is newsworthy, trendy, and an individual who could support that topic. Mm-hmm. And then from there, continue to stay in touch with, you know, Instagram likes and LinkedIn and sharing their articles out. And, and if you're in their town, you know, so many of us are not traveling now, but once things start to open up, if you're in their town, going to the event they're moderating, go to, say you're in the area and you want to bring them the favorite coffee at the office. I can't tell you how many times I wound up at the New York Times or E! News or, you know, Access Hollywood type outlets. They didn't know me from anyone, but I would say, I'm in your area for 2 hours. What's your favorite coffee? And I wound up at their desk. So think that way about, you know, how you can be a genuine friend to them. And over time, it will pay off big time.
Versus, hey, I'm in town for, you know, 2 hours. Can I meet with you? It's like, no, it's just a different angle when you're like, can I bring you coffee? Like, it just feels different.
It does.
So good. Okay, Ashley, where can people find out more about you? Where can we send them if they're like, this is so good, I want to hear more?
Oh, yeah. Well, if anybody wants to work with us on their headlines and the story strategies or get the book for free that goes deep into all of this, you can go to unknowntounforgettable.com. You can get my book for free there. All you have to do is pay shipping. And you can also reach out to my team there. We'd love to hear from you. Our biggest mission is to impact the lives of a billion people. And the way that we do that is by putting solution creators in front of millions and doing it again and again and again. So it really changes the world we live in by the stories that we tell. So can't wait to hear from you.
I love it. Ashley, thank you so much for being here. You guys go check her out, go follow her on social, and definitely go grab a copy of her book.
Thanks for having me.
If you're loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, I want to invite you to hang out with me for 5 days. Yes, join us in our next live 5-day boot camp where we will be discussing 10 free or low-cost ways to drive more traffic. It's only $17 and you will be blown away by the content that we cover inside. Go to drivemoretraffic.net to get signed up and let's get you more visible.